Good morning. This is a day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You've picked a perfect day to come to church. Every Sunday is a perfect day to come to church. Some people, some evangelists, and some people that put on gospel concerts are reluctant to come to New England. They feel that it has a negative spiritual image. But I think the Lord has a special love and care for New England. Did you notice the colors in the trees today when you came to church? Yesterday we were riding around and it was rainy and drizzly. The color was still there, but it wasn't brilliant. Today the same color was there, but the difference was the sun was shining and they were brilliant. The same thing is true in your life. When you allow the love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to shine in your life, there's a brilliance and a beauty that the whole world appreciates and sees. So let the light shine. The message this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. If you have a Bible, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Same translation that Josie used last week, so I felt it must be in the right wavelength here. If she used it, I can use it. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, a very familiar passage, one of the many miracles of Jesus. The Gospel of John is just filled with miracles. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. After this, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miracles as he healed the sick. Then Jesus went up into the hills and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill looking for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Philip, where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip. There's a difference between being tested and being tempted. Jesus tests us. He wants to see how much we can grow and mature and how well we do on the test. Satan tempts us. If we give in to Satan, we go downhill. We go into sin. But if we pass the test, we're elevated spiritually. So Jesus wasn't putting Philip down. He was trying to get him to mature. So he was testing Philip, for he had already known what he was going to do. Verse 7. Philip replied, "It would take a small fortune to feed these people. We'd have to go to Hannaford's and buy all the food there." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That'd be like 5 hamburger rolls and 2 sardines is what he had with him. But what good is that among such a huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So all of them, the men alone numbered about 5,000. If just the men were 5,000, their wives were probably there and their kids. So it's estimated there maybe were 15,000 people there. How many do we have here today? We have 15,000? No, we don't have 15. Well, we work on that. It's a new pastor's job. "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus ordered. So all of them, the men alone numbered about 5,000, sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate until they were filled. Nothing was left over. They were all filled. "Now gather the leftovers," Jesus told them, told his disciples, "so nothing is wasted." There was 5 barley loaves to start with and 12 baskets filled with pieces of bread when they had finished eating. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words and these truths. Help us to see how they apply to our life and what we mean by them. Pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Do you know what the first word a baby learns not only to say, but what it means? The first word, daddy likes to say dada, mommy likes to say mama, but that's not the first word they know and they know how to use. The first word is mine. Mine. But this little boy didn't have that attitude. The miracle of feeding 5,000 plus in John 6 actually consists of two miracles. If the first miracle had not happened, I don't think the second miracle would have occurred. What was the first miracle? The boy giving his lunch. The boy giving his lunch. Suppose he would have said mine and not given it. Does that mean Jesus couldn't have done the second miracle? If the first had not happened, I don't think the second would have occurred. Verse 9, there was a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. You know the type of question, if I ask a question, I don't like the answers, yes or no. Are you going to be here? Well, yes or no. If you ask Jesus a question, does it mean that Jesus couldn't have fed the 5,000? Well, it's yes and no. He could have done it some other way. Or maybe, I wonder if there are other miracles that were supposedly recorded in the Bible that weren't because somebody like the boy didn't step up. Suppose the boy didn't give him his lunch. I wonder if we would have heard of this miracle. I have more questions than answers in my sermons. Here's a quote. I say in my Sunday school class, I'd give credit to where I got this quote from, but I don't know where I got it from, so I can't give credit, so I'm plagiarizing. Quote, God doesn't do the supernatural. God does not do the supernatural if we don't pull our weight and do the natural. God doesn't do the supernatural if we don't do the natural. Another quote. If you put what you have in your hands into God's hand, if you put what you have in your hands into God's hand, he can do a lot with a little. I like that. One more quote. In the natural world, if you give more, you have less. In the natural world, if you give more, you have less. That is not God's math. In the Lord's math, 5 plus 2 does not equal 7. In God's equation, 5 small loaves plus 2 sardines feeds 5,000 men plus their family, and I like this part, with 12 baskets full left over. I wonder how come there were 12 baskets full left over. I wonder why there weren't 13 or 11. How many disciples were there? I wonder if that's just a coincidence. Jesus gives the boy, here's my imagination. So what did the boy, I believe Jesus asked to see the boy after it was all over with. And here are the 12 baskets of, 12 jugs of food left over. And Jesus talks to the boy. I picture this. This isn't in the Bible. This is my imagination. And he thanks the boy very much, and he says, why don't you take these 12 baskets full home with you? Jesus said, I got 12 men that can carry them for you. So he gets home, and his mother says, how was lunch? How was lunch? I wonder how he answered that. Well, lunch was pretty good, and I got supper here. I got supper here for the whole town. I don't know if that really happened, but I picture Jesus doing things like that because he loves us. Question. What is the boy's name? I asked this question the last time I preached about a person who did a miracle for Jesus. Do anybody know his name? Just a little boy. I wonder what happened to him afterwards. I wonder if he followed Jesus as he grew up. His 15 minutes of fame actually turned into 2,000 years of fame. You too are a vital part of God's daily ongoing miracles. You know that? Do you believe that? That you are part of God's ongoing miracles. There are other feeding miracles in the Bible. The nation of Israel is wandering the desert. They've been getting mad if they were tired of it. They wanted meat. So the people complained about the miracle. They wanted meat. So the Lord promised them a month's supply. Now, in the John, he had to feed 5,000 plus the family. When the nation of Israel was wandering the desert, he had to feed 600,000 men. So it was probably 2 million people. and he wanted quail for them, and they flew in from the ocean. Now here's what it says in the Bible. How much quail did the Lord provide? First of all, it was 2 cubits deep, and it was enough, he could walk for a day's worth of walking in all directions to have quail. And the average person in Jesus' time could walk 15 miles a day. So just picture the amount of quail that was provided. Knee deep, 2 cubits deep, roughly knee deep, for 15 miles. Now, we live, you know where we live in Bow. We live 10 miles away. So it'd be food all the way over to Bow plus 5 miles past house. How far is it up to the racetrack from here? How many miles is it?
Nine.
How many?
Nine.
Nine. So for another 6 miles, 7 miles after that would be quail. Whew. He certainly does a good job when he provides for us abundantly. There's another miracle, another food miracle provided in the Bible, supplying food. In John chapter 21, Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, and he had visited with the disciples, and a couple days later, some of the disciples decided to go back up to the Sea of Galilee to go fishing. And that night, they fished all night, and you know what they caught? Nothing. And now it's just getting dawn, it's like foggy out, and they're about 100 yards offshore, and they see somebody on the shore. They don't realize it's Jesus, and he says, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat." They don't know who it is. They're lifetime fishermen. I wonder what their response was. "Come on, give me a break. Throw it on the other side. What difference does it make? I've been fishing on this side. The boat is maybe 2 feet wide. What difference does it make just putting it on the other side?" But when Jesus gives you the little details, obey them. And what happened when they threw them on the other side of the boat? How many fish did they pull in? 152, is it? 153. Somebody must have counted them. They caught so many fish that they almost sank the boat. Then they realized it was Jesus. How much of a difference can one side of the boat make? How close are you to a miracle? Miracles happen when we obey God in the little things. What little things? Daily devotions, daily prayer, tithing. When I teach tithing in Sunday school class, I always whisper it. I get their attention. Tithing. Tithing. Little things. Well, that's not a little thing. Don't you wish you could see miracles like that today? 153 fish, almost sink the boat. Boys' lunch, feeding 5,000 men. Wouldn't it be great if miracles like that would happen today? I wonder if we were ever like a little boy where we kept it and we said, "Mine." A very familiar story that I've told many times. There was a Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball who lived about 150 years ago. He lived in Boston. And one of his students in the Sunday school class was Dwight L. Moody. Ever hear of Dwight L. Moody? He became a pretty good preacher. Well, Dwight L. Moody was 19 years old and he worked in a shoe store. He was a good guy. But the teacher wasn't sure if he was a Christian or not. Edward Kimball decided to go visit him at work. So as he approached the store, he looked in the window, and he saw that Dwight L. Moody was waiting on a customer. So he kept on walking. He walked past the store. But the Holy Spirit checked him and said, "Go back and talk to him." It would have been so easy just to keep going because he was busy. He went back into the store, witnessed to him. Dwight L. Moody became a Christian and became a great evangelist. Just because the Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball, was faithful in little things. One of the people that were saved under Dwight L. Moody's ministry was Billy Sunday. Ever hear Billy Sunday? He was a former baseball player back 100 years ago. And he became a great evangelist. Somebody who was one under the ministry of Billy Sunday was Mordecai Ham. Ever hear Mordecai Ham? He was an evangelist in North Carolina. Guess who came to one of his services in the 1930s? Billy Graham. So just think, if Edward Kimball hadn't stopped to talk to Dwight L. Moody, hadn't preached to Billy Sunday, hadn't preached to Mordecai Ham hadn't preached to Billy Graham, I wonder what would have happened. What makes me think even more is I wonder if there were other Edward Kimballs who didn't turn around and go back. The little miracles. The boys, five loaves, 5% rolls, and 2 fish, fed 5,000 plus. I wonder when we get to heaven, you don't have to raise your hand if you're a Sunday school teacher, if there's somebody you witness to. What a joy that's going to be. I wonder if there's a reunion in heaven between Edward Kimball, Dwight L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, and Billy Graham. They're getting together and singing. The closing hymn we're going to sing this morning is number 486, I Surrender All. And I encourage you just to sing it as your witness, as your testimony. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.